Stupidity has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So I spent the entire weekend negotiating with ESPN. I am late to this podcast party, Levitard and Friends. Dan announced his, and Mina, she announced hers, even though she already had one, but now it's under Levitard and Friends, and it's already number one on iTunes, and I got jealous, and so I wanted to get my podcast up and running, and so I spent the entire weekend negotiating with the suits that were down here from ESPN, and luckily, they came to the table with a couple of more zeros. Not as many zeros as I wanted, but a couple of more zeros, so I am now locked in to doing something that I have no earthly idea how to do, and that's when I go to Mike. Mike, how the hell do I do a podcast?
Yeah, it's the week of. We got Super Bowl coming up.
Right.
We wanted to launch this week. We talked about it to maximize the ears that could be available to us, as it's one of the biggest sporting weeks of the year.
Right.
And you didn't give this any thought?
No. Nope. No thought. The only thing I gave thought to was how many zeros can I get, you know, for them to have me do this. That's the only thing I was thinking about. I wasn't thinking about once they agreed to terms or once I agreed to terms, what I was going to do with the actual podcast. No, I did not think that far ahead. You know me, Mike. You know I didn't think about that.
Okay, so I feared this might happen. I realized quickly that I don't have time for really any of this.
Right.
I can be here with you in spirit.
Okay.
Sometimes I can actually physically be here with you.
Right.
But I don't have much to give.
Okay.
But I thought about you, and I brought in a producer who's super quality.
Okay.
From one of your favorite shows.
Get out of here.
I got Dynamite Dan Stancic.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's going to produce for you.
Wait, so Stancic is going to produce this podcast in addition to his responsibilities and roles for Golic and Wingo?
He left Golic and Wingo for you.
Stancic, what's the matter with you? Honestly.
Stu, I was told you asked for me. Is that true?
I did ask for you. I didn't ask for you to leave Golic and Wingo. I just asked for you to do this in conjunction with your responsibilities for Golic and Wingo. Because I'm telling you right now, Stancic, you leaving that for this, I won't be doing this for more than, you know, 6 months. Keep in mind, none of those zeros are for you. You are not getting paid any extra to do this. I'm happy to have you aboard. I am thrilled to have you aboard. If I couldn't choose one of our guys, Mike, Billy, Chris, Roy, any of the guys, I would go with Stancic, and I got him, but I can't believe you left Golic and Wingo to do this. I mean, you're crazy.
So I'm like your fifth option? I guess this is kind of a stupid decision by me.
Yeah, stupidity. I said that to be nice because the guys are sitting right here. To be honest with you, they're all sitting right here. That Chris, Roy, Billy. So I just said it to be nice. I didn't really mean. All right, Stancic, listen to me. Now, Mike knows this about me, and you need to know it as well. In fact, I probably should have told you this before you left Golic and Wingo because I don't know how it's going to sit with you, but Abby is my confidant, okay? And she is going to be one of the executive producers on this show, and she's going to co-host many parts of this show with me. She just is. I need her. And listen, here's the worst thing. Not only does she not work, Stancic, she doesn't work while spending our money. So I figured what I'm going to do here, okay, is have her work only, if for no other reason, so it's 1 hour a week where she's not spending my money at Zappos.com. Got it?
Who the hell is Abby, and what the hell am I doing?
That's the that's my wife. She's the boss, Stancic.
Oh, great.
Hi.
Oh, she's already on the line, and that's just fantastic. I am so happy this is Stancic's problem.
All right, so I'm excited about this. I have no earthly idea what we're going to do, but I am excited. I have no idea how long we're going to do it. I just know that I'm going to do it with Abby. So I have some ideas I want to pitch you guys, okay? I want to pitch. Are you ready for this? And you too, hon, okay? These are ideas that I'm very excited about. I'm figuring new podcast, Levitard and Friends Network, okay? Mina Kime shot right to number one. Levitard has South Beach Sessions. By the way, I want Palm Beach Sessions, just so you know. I am lobbying for Palm Beach Sessions because I would like to prove to the world that I am the same caliber interviewer as Dan. In fact, my guess is those guests will have more fun with me than they had with Dan. How about that? But anyway, here is what I'm thinking for first guest of the new podcast. This is a big week. We're launching. I'm thinking the GOAT. I'm thinking Michael Jordan.
Yeah, Mike, he's not serious, is he?
He needs to be a little bit more realistic than this. We can't. You just realized that you wanted to do a podcast. You can't go top of the line. Michael Jordan, do you have anything else in mind? Anything at all that might work?
Well, in terms of guest or in terms of other ideas? I mean, guest, I was thinking Michael Jordan. I didn't really think of anyone else. I just thought MJ. I mean, there is nobody else.
How about the Jets coach? You like the Jets. Why don't you talk to the Jets coach?
He seems a little more attainable. That actually makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, happy to have Abby aboard. That's actually a good idea.
All right, let's talk imaging, because I'm thinking, all right, again, new podcast, we need a legendary voice, we need a big voice, a booming voice, okay? I want it to sound like $1 million. I'm thinking, two words, Keith Jackson.
That one might be tough, Stu, because I got two words for you. He's dead.
Keith Jackson's dead? Whoa, Nelly.
Don't you like Mike and Mike? Why don't you get Greeny or Golick to do the voices?
Greeny's not a bad idea. It's a pretty good one. You think we can get him?
You know what? He's actually probably gettable, too, and he reads really well. It'd be a good voice. I like that idea.
All right, guys, I need help, though, okay? Because I got to fill every week. I got to fill like 30, 40 minutes every single week. I have no idea how to do this. Abby's the only one suggesting good ideas. My ideas are awful. How the hell are we going to do this?
Why don't you do some segments with your friends, like Talk Jets with Mikey T or Fantasy with Inferno? That should definitely be a part of it.
You know what? They're good ideas, huh? I got to be honest with you. Mikey T, Inferno, Danny, me. I mean, I need this thing to be likable. None of those guys are likable. What makes me likable is that I'm sitting next to a gas bag Lebatard every single day on the show. None of these people are likable. What do I do?
I should have a weekly role. It should essentially just star me. I'm getting paid for this, right?
You are so hot when you talk money. Not when you're spending money. When you're talking about earning money, you are hot. Anyway, I'm beginning to realize that this is going to be a lot of work. And so, Abby, you have every right to ask for more money. In fact, right after this episode, I'm going to ask for more money because I'm already tired of doing this. But I got like 30 or 40 minutes to go here. I have no idea what to talk about, even though it's Super Bowl week this week. What are we going to discuss?
Why don't you just do Wake and Take? People like that. You like that. That's easy.
Abby, brilliant idea. I got to tell you, you are hot when asking for more money, even hotter when coming up with good ideas that have me doing less of the work around here. That's why I love you. That's why I married you. Okay? How about that? All right? I mean, you're always thinking dollars and cents, and you're thinking about how can we make the most amount of money without Stu doing any of the work. And that's what I love about my wife. So with that being said, Mike, hit that damn music. It is Wake and Take here on Stupidity, my new podcast. I have thoughts, I have opinions, I have notes, I have news. I'll share them all with you. That's what I should do, but I'm not, because that's not how we do it here on Wake and Take. You got to call in, you got to ask the right questions, and if you do, perhaps you will get some of my thoughts, some of my opinions, news, notes, things going on in the world of sports and outside. But first, we interview Fat Chris.
Hey, Stu.
You good?
I'm good. You good?
I'm good. Roy, you good?
I'm good. Billy, you good?
I'm good. Dan, you good?
Dan?
Yeah, I'm good.
Where's Allison?
Allison, you good?
Allison, good. Dan, you have to Allison? Say Allison. I'm good, and then you ask someone else if they're good. So you say, I'm good. Allison, you good. And
right. I mean, Golic, you good. Wingo, you good. Something like that.
Well, they're not here. So they're
Can you believe he left Golic and Wingo to come produce this mess? Anyway, Fat Chris, big game coming up.
The biggest.
And I'm wondering, are you going to do that thing that everyone else seems to be doing? I warned Dan before the AFC Championship game, don't do it. Why? Because I care about him. Do not go against the Patriots. I sense, knowing you the way that I do, that you think the Rams are going to win this football game.
I do. I'm doing it.
Don't do it. I care about you. Don't do it. I have the Patriots 34, Rams 20. How about that?
Wow.
Billy, my sense is you're going to do that same exact thing, and I care about you a little less than I care about Chris, but I still care about you nonetheless. It seems like you're going to go with the Patriots here. Don't do it, Bill.
Don't go with the Patriots?
Billy, don't do it.
I'm going to do it.
You're going to go with the Patriots?
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Billy, don't do it. I care about you.
I won't do it.
Well, wait. He's going with the Patriots. That's what you want him to do.
Stupidity! Don't do it, Bill. Just don't do it. I'm warning you right now. This Rams team is good. They are good. I said at one point, probably three different times throughout the season, that the Rams were the best team in football.
I said it at one
don't
point
do it.
Probably three different times.
I did, but at one time.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Are you good?
I'm good. You good?
Are you sure you're good?
I thought so.
Okay, so you go Rams or Patriots, because I'm feeling like the Rams are the most talented team in the NFL, and I think the Rams are going to blow them out. How about that? I have Rams 34, Patriots 10. Anyway, Billy, you good?
I'm good.
All right, Stupidity! So where are you going here?
Where am I going? What are you talking about?
Who are you taking in the game, Bill?
Rams.
I mean, what the hell? You go produce Golic and Wingo. Roy, who do you like in the game?
Rams.
Don't do it, Roy. I care about you. Stantic, who do you like in the game?
I think I like the Rams.
Don't do it, Stantic.
I think I'm going to do it.
I don't care about you, and I'm still telling you don't do it. I got the Patriots 34-3 over the Rams. How about that?
So you're doing it. I'm confused.
I'm doing it, but then I'm not doing it, and then I'm doing it.
What you've been telling people not to do is bet against the Patriots.
And I'm doing it.
All right.
You're doing something that you shouldn't be doing?
Exactly.
Stupidity.
Let's take some calls. Let's go out to Perry. Perry, go ahead. You're on Wake and Take here on Stupidity.
This is Perry.
Hi, Perry.
It's Carrie.
Off to a good start.
Oh, it's Carrie.
Very good.
All right, go ahead. Hi. I mean, listen, it's not my fault that Roy put it up there. His parents, $2 fine for me. I'm blaming Roy, but it doesn't matter. I'll gladly pay the fine, but I can read. Barely, but I can read. It says Perry, not Carrie.
Right on.
All right, go ahead.
Greetings from balmy 2 degrees of northern Sioux Falls, first of all.
What?
I was wondering what it would take to get you down to Sioux Falls in the summer since it's only 2 degrees right now, and it'll probably stay that way for a few months. And then second,
yeah,
if you don't mind, I'm a disgruntled Knicks fan, and I'm thinking you're a disgruntled Knicks fan.
Mm-hmm.
Last night kind of made me cry a little. Do you think we should just abandon ship?
Thanks for the call, Perry. I appreciate it. Do I think we should abandon ship? I think Durant's going to go to the Knicks next year. Listen, if Durant wants to right everything that he's done wrong, and he's done plenty wrong, in fact, he's ruined the NBA, he'll go to a team like New York, and he'll play at Madison Square Garden, and he'll win that team a championship. And if he does that, he's the greatest player of all time. Now, as far as Sioux Falls is concerned, and if he does it, I'm telling you, he's the laziest player of all time. Because what he did, it's an atrocity what he did. What he did, this is not what sports are supposed to be about. They're not. I'm sorry. You're not supposed to fail. And because you failed and couldn't beat the Golden State Warriors with Russell Westbrook, by the way, up 3-1 in that series, since you couldn't beat him with Russ, you left Russ and you joined the team that you couldn't beat. And that's not what sports is all about. I'm sorry. Now, what sports is all about is leaving those bums in Golden State, going to New York where they haven't won in forever, and taking that team to an NBA championship. And go win them a title. That's it. You win that team, that organization, and those fans a title in that building, you become the greatest of all time in my personal record book. Now, as far as Sioux Falls, never. I hope that clears it up. I don't care if it's the summer, winter, 2 degrees, 102 degrees, 82 degrees, if I'm playing at a golf tournament, I'm not going to South Dakota. I love the people of Sioux Falls. I know the mayor ran on a platform to get elected that he would create a Stu God stay. He was lying to you. There's no Stu Falls. Let's go to Eric. Eric, go ahead. You're on Wake and Take here on Stupidity.
Stu, I think the chicken parm is the greatest sandwich invented. I think the cheesesteak is completely overrated. Tell me I'm wrong.
I don't think the cheesesteak is overrated. It's a good question. Thank you for the call. Rasham. I don't think it's overrated, the cheesesteak. I agree with you. The chicken parm is the greatest sandwich of all time. Here's the thing, Chris, with the chicken parm. Cutlets need to be thin. Not thick cutlets, thin cutlets. And you don't stack cutlets. I want one thin cutlet, some cheese, and the bread. And that's it.
Get chicken parm out of here. It's Philly cheesesteak all day.
Is better than a chicken parm?
Yeah. With the cheese, a little onion, no mushroom, no peppers.
Okay, listen, I'm not saying the Philly cheesesteak is overrated. I'm not. It's a delightful sandwich. What I'm saying is the chicken parm is better. If I go cheesesteak, though, then this is going to blow your mind. I go mayo.
I'm not mad at that.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Roy, you good?
That's disgusting. No. Mayo on a cheesesteak?
Oh, right, it's delicious.
Have you lost your mind?
No.
I like the question here, though, if you could only have one for the rest of your life.
Chicken parm.
I'm going Philly cheesesteak.
Roy, one for the rest of your life.
Philly cheesesteak.
Bill?
I like a Philly cheesesteak with mustard, which I know never ends well for me, saying that out loud.
Why would it end well for you?
It's delicious.
No, I mean, it's not.
Mustard's
only meant for a hot dog. And
no,
that's
no. Put on a Philly cheesesteak. It's so good.
Can we make a poll? Can I do that on the podcast? Stanza, can we do polls on the podcast?
We can try.
Is mustard good on a Philly cheesesteak?
No.
Thank you. One for the rest of your life, Stanzik. Cheesesteak or chicken parm?
I'm a chicken parm guy all the way.
Do you agree with me that the cutlet needs to be thin? Medium to thin. It cannot be thick. A thick cutlet will ruin everything.
I do. And don't oversauce it either.
Great point. Stick around for a while, Steve. It's got to be a thin to medium cutlet. Light sauce. Lots of cheese. But here's the key to any sandwich. The key. The bread. Put that on the poll. Is the key to any sandwich bread?
What kind of bread do you like for sandwiches?
What kind of bread do you like?
I like a good wheat bread for a sub. Yeah. A Philly cheesesteak on wheat bread. I love it. Toasted.
Why are you ruining your subs with mustard and wheat bread?
You prefer wheat?
Yes.
Yeah, get a wheat bread with a Philly cheesesteak, a little mustard.
Wait, Roy is shaking his head up here. What's the matter, Roy?
I mean, come on. Just go with a good old-fashioned hoagie roll. I mean, come on. Wheat?
Do the hoagie pogey.
Hey-o! Stupidity!
How did you get a podcast?
I have no idea. Ridiculous. I mean, they pay me so much to do it. I'm not going to listen to them, but they pay me a lot to do it. Stupidity. Let's go to Nick. Nick, go ahead. You're on Wake and Take. You're on Stupidity.
What's up, Stu?
Yep.
So you guys were talking about a couple months ago, if you're at a baseball or hockey game, you get to keep the ball or the puck. Why don't you for football and basketball? I don't want to see people in the front row in a basketball game taking a basketball. Football, you earned that one. You earned that one.
I feel like you're right there. I feel like a football lands on your lap, you know, a guy kicks it over the net, whatever, it's wide left, wide right. I feel like you should be able to take that football home. The basketball is a different story. I'm with you on the basketball. There's no need to be taking basketballs home. Plus, it's first, second row. But that football, man, if it goes up into the 15th row and it's kicked up there and you dive and tackle people for that ball, you should be able to take that thing home.
There are two game balls.
You earned that one.
Yeah, you've earned it. I totally agree with you.
They use two game balls. There's one main ball. And
we'll get more balls. I mean, they're making billions of dollars. How's that sound?
Plenty of balls, Roy.
Exactly.
There's plenty of balls.
I mean, stick to the rule. Two balls. We can. What do you got, Bill?
What is this?
Will you get out of here?
I mean, you've seen these NBA players before games. They like rub these balls. It's crazy.
How they rub the balls?
Yeah, they really they take a great interest in the balls.
Right, and rubbing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupidity.
Bill?
I don't even know what's going on.
Are you okay, Bill?
I'm good. You good?
You said you were okay before, but I don't think you're okay.
I'm confused.
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
As long as you're good, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, you good? You wanted to say something, though. You were, like, rushing to the microphone. You wanted to say something.
Well, how does that work in football? Because if a player throws the ball into the crowd, they get to keep it. But if they miss it, is that in the NFL? I know college you have to throw it back. But if they miss a field goal in the NFL, you have to give the ball back?
I think the NFL, you have to give the ball back. I think in the NBA, you have to give the ball back. But in baseball, you get to take it home. And in hockey, you certainly get to take the puck home. So hockey, who's not making nearly as much money as the NFL, they're not skipping on pucks. Right? So, Roy, your two football rule. I mean, to me, that's ridiculous.
Basketball, not football.
Well, basketball, too, is making more money than everyone except the NFL.
But the referees pick two game balls. One is a backup,
pick
and they use those two.
Well, get more balls.
Yeah.
Players want to rub balls, man. Say. Anyway, let's go to Ray. Ray, go ahead. You're on Wake and Take.
Hey, Stu, do you remember which team it was that knocked the UConn's women's basketball team out the tournament a few years ago?
You said you'd never forget. Mother bleeper. You mother bleeper. All right, who was the guy? UConn. Who was it? I mean, she had a performance that we'll never forget. And I forgot about it. Was it Baylor?
No.
Tennessee?
No.
Mississippi State?
I believe that's it.
I got it right?
I think so.
Do we remember her name?
No. Nope.
Because it's really the performance I was talking about, right? Let's go out to Larry. Larry, go ahead.
Hey, Stu, what's the better year for the dad? 78 or 89?
Wow, that's a great... It actually is, Rasham. Maybe the best question we've ever had on Wake and Take. 78 or 89? I went to see the Philadelphia show. I can't remember a thing about my life, but I remember the loser I heard in Philadelphia in 1989 at JFK Stadium in Philadelphia. Don't ask me why. And there's a good chance I was on mushrooms. Am I allowed to say that? Stanton, can I say that? Stupidity! All right, let's go out to Jesse. Jesse, go ahead.
Hey, what are some set list highlights from playing in the sand this weekend?
Wow, there were plenty. Final day, the Althea second set was unbelievable, unbelievable. The China Ryder on Friday night, was it Friday? No, Thursday night was amazing. So for those of you who don't know the Grateful Dead, and I'll be bringing friends on this podcast to talk about the Grateful Dead because there's only two things in my life that I love. Three, actually. Four. My kids. Chicken parms, sports, and the Grateful Dead.
You're missing a person.
Who?
Your wife, probably. guess maybe she should quit buying shoes, I guess.
Zappos.com, man. They better sponsor their show, Zappos. I love you. I lump her in with the kids.
Yeah, okay.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
So they did China Rider on Thursday night. I've never seen them do this. They wedged like a Cumberland Blues in between China Cat Sunflower and I Know Your Rider. How about that? That's amazing. If you're a Dead fan, I'm telling you, that's big because they never do that. They have Scarlet Fire. They have China Rider. They usually don't stick songs in between those two songs. They play them as a couple, and they stuck Cumberland Blues right in the middle of China Rider, and it was fantastic. And I will tell you this. John Mayer has saved the Grateful Dead. He has. I didn't think it was possible. I'm a Jerry guy. I went to over 100 shows when Jerry played guitar for that band. In fact, the reason I graduated in 5 years from Clark University is because I took a year off to follow the Dead. So I saw over 100 shows with Jerry, and I love him. And I never thought that I'd see someone come close to replicating what Jerry was able to do. But John Mayer's done it.
You did not take a year off to follow the Grateful Dead.
I would tell my parents, I would call them from a payphone, and they'd say, where are you? I'd say, I'm at the Goddard Library. And meanwhile, I was in, you know, Laguna Seca, California, watching a Dead show.
That's not true.
Billy, it's true.
How many shows did you see?
I took half the year off because I had lacrosse in the spring. So I took from September all the way till about February off. I didn't go anywhere. And I was an English major. Attendance was not required at my school. So in those days, I had a Smith & Corona word processor. Okay? And I would type my papers on the road, probably on LSD, and I would fax them in to my teachers. Stupidity! And my parents, the entire time, they thought I was in Worcester, Massachusetts. I wasn't. I was all over the place. Alpine Valley, Colorado. I'll tell you, when my dad hears this, this is the first time he's going to be hearing this. When he hears this. Sorry, Dad. Let's go out to Dan. Dan, you're on Wake and Take here on Stupidity. Go ahead, Dan.
Scott, are you shitting me? For real? Are you shitting me? You have months to prepare for this thing. Months. You negotiate unreasonably. You betray everyone. And then when you start off, the thing that you do is you repurpose something unoriginal you've already done that is spectacularly lazy and allows the callers to do the work for you because they're the funny ones. You have to be shitting me. I'm taking you to court, man. Go f*** yourself.
I have no idea who that guy was, but he sounded fat. Rash him.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gatz, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gatz providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gatz's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
Wow, Greeny. I mean, that was well done. Greeny doing the open. That was Abby's suggestion. Abby, how'd you feel about that open? Greeny, how about that? That was pretty nice, huh?
Yes, of course it was my suggestion, because most of my suggestions are usually what you end up with at the end and the right answer.
Right. Well, that's because I can't say no to you. You also suggested Adam Gase.
Yeah, you just are scared.
Right. Well, I am scared. I'm scared of you. You're right. I wanted Michael Jordan to be the first guest on the show. The guys, Stanzik and Mike, said that was unattainable. You suggested Adam Gase, and I got good news for you. They took your advice again because Adam Gase is going to join us in about 4 or 5 minutes.
Obviously. Again, I'm right, and we'll see how it goes when he comes on the phone. I'm sure he'll agree with most of what I suggest and say and do as opposed to your suggestions.
Are you feeling like this is going to be too much work for you? I mean, where are you with this podcast? Because I feel like we're pulling you in all kinds of different directions. This is how podcast, digital, radio works. Are you already feeling that this is going to be too much for you?
Yes, it's definitely too much for me. I could already feel it. But again, I do want to help you, and I think it'll be enjoyable to listen to, but a little stressful as far as when and how and radio and podcasts. So I'm not sure it's going to work out. But we'll give it a try and see if there's any listeners, and then we'll take it from there.
Well, here's the good news for you, hon. Here's the good news, okay? I have set the bar so low that it's nearly impossible for you not to jump over that bar. Like, they, you are going to be a star. Do you hear me? You're going to be a star. You got it?
Okay. You're already a star. You're a star of the house, of the radio.
But I don't want to be a star anymore. This is about making you a star and then me profiting off of your stardom. Got it? And here's the other thing that's great about this, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm going to cut you off because now we're in my house, okay? Usually I'm in your house, but now we are in my house, okay? And so I'm going to cut you off. Here's the great thing about the podcast. It's a double payoff here where not only are you working for the first time in 17 years, but you're also not spending my money for the first time in 17 years. How about that?
Okay. I mean, I have worked definitely within the last 17 years. And I think this is a win-win for you. You're profiting off of someone else as usual. Like, that's what you tend to try to do.
Yeah.
And, yep.
I love you. I'm joking about the work. I forgot that you did work on the front end of our relationship. I apologize. Do you forgive me?
And I also raised twin girls that
you did.
Were born
and you've done
10
a
weeks
job.
Early. I haven't stopped for 1 hour of the day. But, okay, that doesn't really 100%. Count, right? Just because don't get money from it. But okay, go ahead.
It does count. You've done a great job. I apologize. You don't need to keep, adding, throwing your resume at me. I did apologize. I realized what I said was wrong, and I apologized, okay?
Okay, I accept your apology.
Thank you. I love you, babe. Let's talk about driving here before Adam Gase comes on, because I want to bring him into this conversation, okay? We are at a very interesting time in our lives, a very interesting time in our daughter's lives. We have twin 15-year-old girls. I'm going to bring my family into this podcast. Abby's going to be a big part of it. You'll hear from Emma and Rachel later when Coach Gase is on. I got friends coming on. I got cousins, brothers, everyone coming on. Okay. So this is exciting, but we're at a very interesting time. Dare I say a crossroads in our life where our kids are 15. They're adults now. And they just got their driver's permit. So unbeknownst to you, you waited for them to get the driver's permits, for you to start driving them around town. I've been doing it for almost a year now. Does that anger you? I imagine that angers you, right?
I waited like everybody else waits until you're legal and allowed to do something. You can break the law, the rules, like you supposedly did. I heard from Rachel that she was already driving on the highway before she even had a permit. So I'm not so sure that, you'll be the one to teach or show them anything about the rules of the road. Since
Were you shocked when you finally did get in the car with them to drive? Just how good they were at driving? Were you shocked by that? Were you wondering how the hell were they?
I didn't pay attention to it because I said if your dad taught you that it's all wrong. So I didn't really even feed into it at all. I just assumed that everything you showed them was not how it's actually supposed to go. So, no, I wasn't shocked. I just didn't want to take part in the conversation.
Listen, all I did, the first time I took Rachel driving, I just took her out on the sawgrass. I told her it's easier driving on the highway. I told her just to let it out. And did she let it out? She took us all the way down to South Beach. 97 miles per hour was the average speed she was driving the entire time. So we went down to South Beach. We had a little lunch. We hung out in the afternoon. And then we went to Club Live later that night. So I threw her right into the fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. When she told me she went on the highway, I said, well, let me just show you your father's driving record, how many times he brakes hard a day or he speeds, and it was like over the limit, and she was like stunned. And I said, never again. You can never again go behind the wheel with him in the passenger seat.
What did you do, a Life 360? And by the way, that's what's called rush hour. For those of us who work, we know what that means. That's why I'm pounding the brakes so much. It's called rush hour.
I understand. Okay. Well, it's even on the weekend.
But I'm an important person. I have places to be. I have a radio show to do. I mean, you might say, hey, leave a little earlier, but I leave early.
I was just about to say that, but why would that? I mean, that would make sense. Why would you do anything that makes sense?
That's a good point. Speaking of things that don't make sense, I don't understand why you're telling our kids to stop at a yield sign. You stop at a stop sign, you slow down at a yield sign, you survey the area around you, and then if you have room, there's no cars around, then you pin it and you go. That's the way I taught them when they were 13 years old and I started taking them for drives. They are telling me that mommy is making a stop at every yield sign. That's patently absurd, Abby. You got to teach them the right way.
I am teaching them the right way. They just started driving less than a month ago, and what I said to them is be prepared to stop. So most likely, they'll probably, or maybe half the time, be a car coming. So you need to be on the brake, prepared to stop. So imagine in your head that you're going to stop, as I'm trying to teach them to be a cautious driver and not just what you explain to them, you know, survey the surroundings and floor it. That's not the way that you would teach someone how to drive if they are going to be a safe, cautious driver. So I didn't say you have to stop, look both ways like a stop sign. I just said be prepared to stop. So most likely now when they come to a yield sign, they will be on the brake and be ready to stop if they have to.
All right. And I just listen. I mean, that's just that's why we have such a great relationship. You tell them to be prepared to stop. I tell them to be prepared to pin it. OK, that's the deal.
OK, right. Good.
So that's we're going to bring in Adam Gase. Let's bring in the Jet head coach. Listen, he's going to like you a lot more than he likes me, even though you're a Dolphin fan. I'm a Jets fan. I guarantee you he's going to like you more. But I want to bring him in on this conversation. Are you OK if I ask Adam Gase about this? Are you cool with that?
Yes, I'm sure he'll agree with me. So, yes, whenever you ask and say, it's fine.
We're going to do it right now. Let's bring in the head coach of the New York Jets, my New York Jets. He is Adam Gase. Adam was on the Levitard show, our show, a couple of weeks ago. I was traveling with the family, so I didn't get a chance to partake in that interview and speak to my new head coach. So he is kind enough to give us a few minutes right now here on Stupidity. Adam, I want to bring you into this conversation my wife and I were having right before you came on the air with us. We are at a very interesting time in our children's lives. They are 15-year-olds. We have twin girls. They just got their driver's permit. And we're having this big debate in the house over a yield sign and what you're supposed to do when you come up to the yield sign. Now, I have told my kids, unbeknownst to my wife, that when you come up to a yield sign, you don't come to a full stop. You survey the area, and then if you feel like you can get through, you pin it and you drive the car. She is teaching our kids to come to a full stop, which is completely wrong. I don't like it. You got to teach kids right off the bat. This is the way life is. There's this pool, this swimming company, Adam. They give your kid, and they did this to my kids when they were 4 or 5 years old. They give her a lesson or two, and then they just throw her into the middle of the pool, and they tell her to figure it out. And that's the way I kind of like to teach my kids about life. Just throw them in there and let them figure it out. So on a yield sign, Adam, who is right here? Is it me or my wife? Do you come to a full stop, or do you slow down, survey the area, and then pin it if you have the opportunity?
I think it's a slight tap of the brakes and go.
No, I agree. No. First of all, I didn't say full stop. I'm just teaching them how to drive. So what I said is be prepared to stop. Like most likely there probably will or, well, we don't know, but be a vehicle coming through. So be prepared to stop. And because they're beginner drivers, I'm just using stop and I say go onto the brake. And there's a daddy said that we should just pin it. Like, no, you have to be prepared to stop. So, yes, when he's saying full stop, I think he's misunderstanding that I'm just telling them to be prepared, but pretty much learn to stop now in case you have to. But I know what
you're saying. You're saying listening skills is not a strength of his.
Well, you got it. Definitely not.
Wait, Adam,
he's like the rest of us.
Before she even, right.
What am I like? Say that again, Adam.
The rest of us.
Yeah, you're not married, are you, Adam?
Yeah.
And do you have kids?
Yeah, 9, 6, and 5.
Okay, 9, 6, and 5. So the 9-year-old, when Adam Gase gets into the car with the 9-year-old, when the 9-year-old is old enough to drive, Adam Gase will be telling them what as they approach a yield sign.
If it's my daughter, I'm probably telling her to come to complete stop. If it's the other two, I have no control because they're going to do whatever they want.
But here's the thing. I mean, Adam, I bring you on. I'm a Jet. You're siding with my wife already. I mean, what's going on here? You're supposed to be siding with me.
I sided with you to start.
I know.
Kind of swung it on you.
But then when he heard my explanation, you know, it sounded better.
Yeah, you misinterpreted what she was saying.
Exactly. As usual.
Yeah. Well, yes, because I'm not listening. I'm a terrible listener. She's going to be the star of this show. Adam, I'm wondering, do you like the Game of Thrones?
I hate to tell you this. I don't watch a lot of TV. I'm more of like a movie guy. Like I'm going to throw on. I'm probably going to watch something like Fletch for the 500th time or something like that.
So that's the movie you always stop on if it's on TV?
No, I mean, it's like I seem like I always stop on the same movies. It's like I'm finding like the mid-80s or early 80 movies.
Right, that's our wheelhouse. I only ask because, are you aware of who George R.R. Martin is?
No.
Okay, so he is the creator of Game of Thrones, and I only bring this up because I want to tell you a story. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time on the eyes here because I know you already went through all that with the press conference. I didn't care, by the way. And my wife, by the way, Abby, you think Adam has beautiful eyes, don't you?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. And the reason I wasn't on with you that week with Levitard is because I was in Mexico at a Dead & Company, Grateful Dead. It's my favorite band, Adam. And they have an event every year in Mexico called Playing in the Sand. And George R.R. Martin, the creator of Game of Thrones, was there. He's wearing a Jets hat. It's the second time I've seen him there. We've developed some sort of friendship here. Very famous guy. And the first thing he says to me is, what do you think of old Guglia's?
I mean, I don't know. What are you looking for me to say here? It's like I told your buddy, he's a huge Dolphins fan, that I don't care.
I love that you don't care. I really do. I'll get off the eyes in a second, but I want to run this by you. I wanted to take whatever face you were making that day. I wanted to put it on a T-shirt. I told Levitard this, and I wanted to call it the Gase of the Franchise. What do you think?
That's your call,
right?
I'm not the idea guy here.
Okay, but it's really your call. It's your name and your likeness, and so I can't really
you
do
whatever
it.
You want. Like, I doubt I'm gonna get like. Am I going to get royalties or something?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. If you want to go in 50-50 with me, I'm happy to do that. I mean, really, to be honest, you should get 90% and I should only get 10% for the stupid idea. But if you want to go 50-50 with me, I'm willing to do that. And I'll tell you right now, if the Jets steal this idea and start selling these T-shirts, I'm going to sue them. How about that?
I would do the same thing. I don't know. You might have to talk to my agent. He might have some kind of issue with this, me doing my own deals.
Okay.
We'll get a percentage.
All right, listen. I want to talk to you about movies, and I want to talk to you about the Jets, okay? And my wife has some demands she's going to make of you as the new Jets head coach. 45 years, this has been my favorite team. Coach, I am hurting. I was thrilled. I was thrilled that the Dolphins let you go and the Jets hired you, because I don't get this thing we do with coaching. 3 years ago, you were the coach that everyone wanted, and I don't think that anything's changed. But again, it's been 45 years. I'm hurting, coach. I haven't seen my team play in a Super Bowl yet. Tell me why this time's going to be different.
You know, we're at those beginning stages. We're close to the end of this, you know, the coaching staff, you know, putting that together. You know, we're deep into the evaluating the guys that are on the roster right now, the guys that are coming up in free agency. You know, and then we kind of hit that combine free agency period. And, you know, this is going to be one of those things where it's going to be fun to put together and, you know, kind of go through all these steps. And it's going to be the first time with, you know, Mike Maccagnan and Brian Heimendinger and the rest of the crew here of putting this together with this coaching staff that we're putting together. And really it's going to be, for me, I'm going to enjoy it a lot because, you know, Greg Williams coming on board and some of these defensive coaches and a lot of the offensive guys are some guys that I've worked with before, to where practice is going to feel like a game. It's going to be competitive. You know, it's probably going to start off where we're probably going to be talking more than the players. They're probably going to be going, well, what's wrong with these guys? But that's kind of how we are. We're all competitors in this building. And, you know, that's the kind of fire you want at practice. You want guys to feel that and understand, hey, this is going to be harder than the game because that's how competitive we want to be.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
All right, pardon my friend Mikey T. He's a bigger Jet fan than I am, Coach Gase. He's just listening in on the interview, and he feels the need to give the Jets chant after every.
Why not?
Exactly right. Okay, so you like it. You love Mikey T. This is great. You like my wife, and you like Mikey T. This is great. Sam Darnold, what did you like most about Sam when you saw him last season?
Well, I mean, he gutted us that first game we played him. I know the second game, you know, the couple times that I've talked to him, you know, when we were kind of in that process, we were kind of going back and forth on that. But, I mean, that was a tough game. We were coming off kind of a longer week. I think we had 10 days to get ready for the game. You know, we threw a couple of different things at him, but that's kind of the process of being a young quarterback. You start seeing different stuff. You know, you have to go through that process to become a better quarterback, you know, year to year, week to week. And, you know, I'm excited to get to work with him, his pocket presence, his arm strength, just the fact that he's played in the NFL already. You know, I mean, he's 21 years old. I mean, this guy's got so much time left in his career, and this is the first time I've been around a guy this young and being able to kind of get going with him from the ground floor.
J-E-T-S, Jet, Jet, Jet.
All right, Abby, you're next to me every single Sunday, every fall. So is there anything, do you want to make some sort of, you know, anything, any message you want to deliver to Coach Gase here? You have a chance to deliver a message here to the head coach of the New York Jets. Anything you want to say? Because I'm in misery every Sunday. I have been for as long as you've known me. Yeah, well, go ahead. You have the coach on the line. You can fix it.
This. You got to get out of this misery thing. Like, we got to swing this the other way for you.
Yes, I mean, Coach, listen, I've been married to him for almost 17 years, and every Sunday and every fall, he's just miserable, which makes me miserable, makes my kids miserable, and I guess I just really need help from you. So I guess the things that you were discussing before, I hope that we can make that happen and just change it around. And he's hoping to see the Jets go to the Super Bowl in his lifetime, or even if it's my daughter's lifetime, some lifetime. Hopefully we'll see changes, but he definitely needs to get out of his misery, and I'm hoping that you can be the one to help us or your players.
Hey, we're going to be 1 week at a time, and the best part about it is you get about 6 days to enjoy it, and then you got to move on to the next one. So just try to stack as many of those up as possible.
And listen, I understand that you don't want me to be miserable. This is none of your doing, Adam, okay? This is the organization. I love them.
Nobody cares what happened last year.
Abby, outside of my wife and kids, what is the most important thing in my life? Is it the New York Jets?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
All right. So
why didn't you call in when I was on the show?
I mean, because I was sitting around with George R.R. Martin.
I heard you just got a little lazy. That's what they told me. That's what Dan said.
Listen, I'm the guy in a contract year that you don't give a max contract to, because Dan is right, okay? I was working my ass off before I got this new contract, 5-year deal Dan and I just signed. And since we signed the contract, I haven't worked a 5-day work week since we signed the new contract.
Oh, you're not one of those guys, are you? Get the money and then you just kind of shut it down?
I am one of those guys. Yes, I'm absolutely one of those guys. I am the Albert Hainsworth of sports radio. Ooh. That, where does Sam, I'm wondering here, Coach, from your perspective, where does Sam need to improve the most?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, it's hard. It's like one of those things where we need to get together and really kind of go through the steps that we need to go to of learning a new offense for him, you know, getting to see him like in an individual setting, practice, all those type of things. You can watch film, but there's a lot of things that you don't always get to see in a game that he may do well or may struggle at practice that they did. And really, I always feel like I have to go through those steps in the off season. And once we hit the season, then it's kind of like, okay, hey, these are the things he does really well. We're going to lean on those. We're going to try to improve on other things. But it's you need to get hands-on, guys. You need to be there. You need to see it with your own eyes. And that's really where you can tell, where you say, okay, we're not very good at this. This is how we got to improve it, and this is the direction we're going. Yeah. And really, that's what I'm waiting for. That's what I'm waiting for, our chance to get on the field and start working.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Mikey T almost cut you off.
We were a little premature there.
Jets.
You noticed that, right? He got very excited. I mean, he loves when you talk quarterbacks. He got very excited. He could contain himself. Abby, you want to ask Coach the question?
Yeah, I have a question. I mean, is there any way he really needs Brady and Belichick out of his life? Is there any way we can make this happen, or do you see this happening anytime soon?
Those two guys not being together?
Yes, just out of my life. Yes.
I don't know. I think I heard 100% he's coming back next year.
Oh, God.
But, like, don't you want to win the division with them there?
Oh, that's a good point.
No.
No. Why? Abby, why not? But Abby, this is why he is an NFL head coach, and I am a coward.
Like, you want to go against the best. That's how you measure yourself. That's how you figure out where you stand.
Okay, I don't disagree with that. But a win is a win. Whether we win with them or win without them, we just want to win. So, but, I mean, I just don't know. You know, regardless, I think everyone just wants them out, so we're hoping that eventually, in another few years, we can be done and not have to worry about the Patriots anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Tom said he was going to play till he's 45. I think.
I know. I mean, Listen, I'm going to ask you to come on this podcast in 10 years, and we're going to still be having the same discussion. I mean, it is.
I'll be 50. I'll be 51.
Ed Brady will be 51. Yes. But listen, I like the mentality. In fact, Mikey T, I need to hear from you, because that's the mentality our coach should have. He doesn't care about Brady and Belichick. He wants to beat the Patriots with Brady and Belichick. Mikey T, go.
J-E-T-S, Jets,
Jets. All right, Coach, I got my daughter Rachel sitting right here. She wants to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm. Coach, first time, long time, big fan. My dad tells me the Jets aren't going to win a Super Bowl in my lifetime. Is that true? I'll hang up and listen.
Boom.
Oh, you're making me go hypothetical.
Yes.
Oh, this hurts because I want to be aggressive on this, but I mean,
it's one game
at a time.
Listen, tell her that we're going to win a Super Bowl. I won't hold you to it. It's fine. We're not going to put it, like, it's not going to make news.
I've never done that in my life. I can't start now. I'll focus on the here and now. That's what I focus on.
Okay. And then here is a question from my other daughter.
Coach, I don't have any questions because I don't really care. And I'm actually a Dolphins fan. Just make my dad happy. I'll hang up and listen.
That's what we're working on.
Good answer.
Yeah, it is a good answer. And listen, if I come out with these T-shirts and you see them, don't tell your agent. Just tell them you and I have agreed. This is a binding contract you and I have. We have agreed to a 50-50 split. Okay?
I think you're good.
All right. You've been real gracious with your time. We appreciate it, man. We'll try to get the entire family out to a game. And if that's the case, my daughter might request a call play, if that's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure we might be able to accommodate that. We'll see. Well, it depends what game it is.
Which game could she call play against?
I don't know.
Not the Patriots.
Brady.
Brady. I think Adam's going to call the plays for that one, Abby.
Yeah, exactly.
Brady.
Thanks, guys.
J-E-T-S. Jets.
All right, thanks for tuning in to my new podcast, first episode of Stupidity. Very excited about this as part of Levitard and Friends. You can check it out on Apple Podcasts, the ESPN app, or anywhere that you listen to podcasts. This is all I ask you. Please subscribe, rate, and review. I don't care if you listen. I wasn't even listening. I didn't hear a word Adam Gase said. So I don't need you to listen. What I need the Stugotz Army to do is please go there, subscribe, rate, and review. Listening is optional. That is totally up to you. We'll be back next week with episode 2 of Stupidity.